Oh, son of a big dick, son of a big dick, son of a big dick, the gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
Oh, he's such a sweetie.
He's got more women than he can shake a stick at.
Oh, well, he's very popular. They all adore him. He's sick.
He made it happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly.
Good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are, and welcome once again to Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM radio. It's Monday night, it's 7:30 post-meridian, so let's get down to business. Once again, I'm joined by the new Full Frontal intern, Barb. Barb, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well there, August.
Is there anything new and exciting in your life that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I'd like to keep my personal life personal, if possible.
Okay, Krusty, we can do that.
Feeling a little under the weather today, forgive me.
You kind of look like I feel.
Well, it's a good thing that this is radio and not television, then.
Are you suggesting that you have a face for radio?
Yes.
At present, anyway. Well, Barb, I've got a great interview ready to go this week. I had a chance to meet with Jen Fetter. She's a registered massage therapist, and there's going to be all kinds of interesting information, so we'll get to that a little bit later on in the latter half of the show. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. You know, Barbara, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in the news, so like I said, let's get down to it. If you can believe this, this is the big one that gets me. There was the big story in the last few days in the news. I'm not sure if people keep up with world events in southwestern Ontario, but of course, I think any informed individual does their best, despite their busy schedule. A gentleman in, well, I can't, gentleman, of course, in the loosest sense of the term, a man in Austria, in Emstetten, Austria, named Joseph Fritzl, a 73-year-old man, was convicted of the forcible confinement and continual rape of his own daughter. Now get this, Barb, if you can believe it, as if that isn't disgusting enough as it is, the man kept his daughter locked in an underground bunker beneath their home in a windowless environment, no fresh air, no sunlight, etc., for 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah, again, this is the kind of stuff that you see about in the worst and most macabre of Hollywood movies, but this is the absolute God's honest truth. So this man, this Joseph Fritzl, who's now 73 years old, started this back in his late 40s, the age of many, you know, university students' parents. So you college and university students that are listening out there, or high school students, think about how horrible this would be if, you know, dad took you down to the basement and locked you up for a quarter century. Anyway, this poor girl was repeatedly sexually assaulted, forcibly confined. And to make matters even worse, as if that wasn't, you know, horrible enough, he fathered 7 children through incestuous relations with his own daughter.
God.
Yeah. So this guy, but this is what absolutely floors me. The guy is described as an absolute tyrant by everyone that knew him. Apparently, he forbade anyone from asking him where he was going, what he was doing, anything of the sort. He was, you know, essentially Hitler in the modern era. But if you can believe this, the Associated Press says that Fritzl, the man convicted in this case, faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted on the rape charges, the most grave of his alleged offenses, unless prosecutors can charge him with the murder through failure to act in connection with the death of an infant, one of these 7 incestuous children, whose body he told police he had burned after the child died shortly following birth. Now, if you can believe it, that is punishable by up to 20 years in prison. So the most that this man will face in Austria, which is a modern first world nation with state-of-the-art technology, government, everything else, first world country, the most this man can face is 20 years of incarceration. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. And I can't understand that. And the people of Austria must be so upset. Well, people around the world, listening to the story right now, I can't believe how terrible that is.
Absolutely. I mean, everything I've read on the internet or in print and everything else, the general populace is absolutely disgusted, like you say, in Austria and the world over. You know, of the states in the Union that have the death penalty, this man would be automatically put on death row and imprisoned until such date with absolutely no chance of parole. I hate to get overly right-wing or harsh or whatever else or reveal political views, but I mean, death by lethal injection or some other, you know, quote unquote humane means is too good for someone like this.
I would have to agree. I'm just wondering, couldn't it be considered like torture or something like that?
Exactly, you would think so. I mean, especially when you consider the unfortunate history of the Second World War in that part of the world, in Austria, Germany, and Central to Eastern Europe with the Holocaust and everything else. These people are well aware of the atrocities of crimes, relating to how depraved one human being can be towards another and the depravity of the nature of humanity. But for whatever reason, the maximum penalty that this man can face is 20 years.
And I'm just wondering as well, how did nobody notice that this girl was missing?
Again,
did she not have any other relatives or friends or family members?
Apparently the guy was an absolute tyrant. His own wife and the children that he fathered, legitimately with her through marriage and whatever else, as soon as they were old enough to get out, they moved the F out of the house.
And left that girl there?
I perhaps they weren't aware of it. To be honest, Barb, I don't know all the ins and outs of the situation, because everything that I've read, it seems very shrouded in mystery and everything else, much as the case itself is. But here's the thing. Even in Canada, don't get me wrong, Canada's a great nation. I love it. I'm a proud Canadian citizen, but we have what I consider to be a Mickey Mouse judicial system. Here's where I'm going with this. Carla Homolka, okay, directly responsible for the first-degree murders of several young women, one of whom was her own sister. Now, not only did she murder her own sister, she committed acts of necrophilia on her own dead sister. Now, this is a woman who served only 12 years at Joliet in Quebec. Not only is she now a free woman, she's been a free woman for well over a year, and she's already been pregnant and had a child with another man other than Paul Bernardo, who she was previously involved with. Barb, she's as free to walk around the street and vote and do everything else that you are. And you have no criminal record, right? You've never even had a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Not even a speeding ticket. Now, again, even in our Mickey Mouse judicial system, Paul Bernardo, thank God, will never see the light of day, because he's been labeled a dangerous sex offender. He will never ever see the light of day. He will live and die in penitentiary. But how is it then that in a country like Canada that's often mocked for having lenient sentences or for having clemency on its incarcerated persons, how is it that a country like Austria, is giving this guy 20 years max? I just don't understand it. I don't want to, make this whole show downtrodden, but on a lighter note, Miley Cyrus, daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus, the famous country and western singer, the young woman who plays the character of Hannah Montana for the Disney Corporation, apparently she got in a little hot water over some photographs.
Have you seen the photographs?
I haven't. I think that looking at anything that could be misconstrued as racy, as far as photographs concerning a 15-year-old girl, would be an unwise idea.
I would agree. I saw pictures of the photographs online, and the ones that they're concerned about, and I'll describe it for you. It's just a shot from the waist up.
Okay.
And her shoulders and the top of her back is showing a little bit.
Okay.
She's got big messy hair, red lipstick on. And what she's wearing in the photo is a scrunched up bed sheet wrapped around her, kind of like a toga, okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
Wrapped around her like a towel.
Okay, gotcha.
Just a waist up shot. So if you look at the picture, I think the problem that people are having with this photo is what it's implying.
And the fact that she's 15 and the fact and the that fa- she works for Disney.
Exactly. I mean, typically pictures like this are implying that you just had sex.
So it's the implication more so than the actual content. Gotcha.
Exactly.
On the topic of sex, though, this is where my fans and listeners are going to write me all kinds of email saying that August Donnelly has gone soft. But I have to say, it's big news. The Sex and the City movie is coming out. And Barb, that's got to be of interest to you.
I'm really excited about it, not going to lie. Normally, I'm very skeptical about movies coming out based off of TV shows.
Spin-offs, yeah.
They're just big money grabbers, I find, and they're always a big letdown. But I think this one has the potential to be great. I know that all the women in the world will be very excited on May 30th. And, guys, if you want to earn some brownie points, with your spouse or your girlfriend, or if you're looking to take a girl out on a date, you're going to score some major brownie points if you can sit through a couple of hours of Sex in the City.
Sex in the City, the movie coming out, you said May the 30th?
May the 30th. That's what they said on Oprah.
Gotcha.
Yes, I watch Oprah.
there's nothing wrong with watching Oprah. She's a smart woman, and the fact that she's the wealthiest woman on the face of the earth who arose from abject poverty, I think, gives her a certain degree of credibility. Well, Barb, as mentioned previously, I've got a great interview all queued up with Jen Fetter. She's a registered massage therapist working out of Stratford, Ontario. She's a gregarious and outgoing and intelligent and funny young lady, and she's got all kinds of interesting information to share with us. So now that spring has sprung, everybody's out and about, getting more active again after being cooped up over the winter season. If you feel as though you've got a few sprains and strains, this is a good thing to listen to, get a few pointers, bit of information, and if you like what you hear, even give Jen a call. So what do you say, Barb? Shall we give it a listen?
Let's give it a listen.
Jen, thanks very much for making some time for the show.
No problem.
I guess the first question right off the bat is, as mentioned, you are a registered massage therapist. Now, there's often skeptics, you know, with anyone that's involved in the healthcare field. I think especially so if they don't hold the title of, you know, medical doctor behind their name. What can you tell the listeners about what's required to become a registered massage therapist as far as the schooling and the training?
Okay, well, the program is a two-year program that they have a lot of local schools around the area. I went to the Canadian College of Massage and Hydrotherapy in Kitchener, mm-hmm. which has now moved out to Cambridge. And it's a lot of anatomy, physiology, neurology, everything you could ever think of. Basically the same training as a doctor, is just probably not as in-depth with pathology and such.
Okay.
And the prerequisites are some, I think it's three senior sciences before you can actually enroll into the course.
Now, the course you studied, you said, was 2 years. Was that the normal duration for the course, or can the course run longer or shorter, or how does that work?
I think the shortest you can take it is 18 months, and the longest, I think, is a three-year program.
Okay, so you kind of took a average duration, or a middle-of-the-road duration?
I did.
Gotcha. But as you said, it's obviously fairly in-depth, so I guess what you could say at the end of the day is that to become registered in this field, there is definitely a lot of in-depth schooling and training, and it's certainly not a fly-by-night operation or anything like that.
That's right.
Now, in your experience, what should people look for or even perhaps be wary of when they're seeking out a massage therapist?
I think somebody who has experience, and I've always seen or explained to clients that if they kind of touch around and see what therapist really suits them, mm-hmm. there are different modalities that people do, such as Reiki or deep tissue or lymphatic drainage and such. So it really depends on what you're looking for.
Just to interrupt there, drainage? What exactly does drainage entail?
Well, your lymphatic system sometimes can be sluggish, or people who have had cancer and in the lymph nodes actually have them removed. For the manual lymph drainage, you actually have to take an additional course for it, advertise that you do it. We have touched in it in school, but I can't say that I am confident enough to actually do that for people as a main goal in their treatment.
Okay. And what is it that you would say you specialize in, or if people were to come to you, what would they seek out of you as far as being your specialty?
My specialty is deep tissue massage. I've been doing it mainly since I left school. I didn't really do it as much during the classes, but just kind of developed over the years. And I think a lot of people come to me in town here because there's quite a few massage therapists here, and I don't think as many do the deep tissue as I do.
And how long have you been practicing in Stratford now?
I'm in my second year.
So you've been at it for a while, and in that duration, have you? I would imagine you've seen, obviously, clients from Stratford, but do you have people from abroad too, from other cities and from other municipalities?
Yeah, definitely. I've had some people come from Kitchener, all surrounding areas. Since this is Stratford, we do have some people that come from the States, and it can just be one treatment kind of thing, but they still make it up here.
Well, I guess that's all the more reason, right? If you're in town to see the festival, why not get a massage? I'm sure, you know, people have many different reasons for visiting a massage therapist. In your experience, though, you know, given you've got a couple of years under your belt now, you've got all the proper schooling, what are some of the common reasons that people come to see you, you know, for example?
I'd say for discomfort, muscle tension, chronic injuries, stuff like that, I think.
Kind of general malaise, aches and pains, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Gotcha. Now, other than, of course, being, you know, pleasant feeling, physically speaking, at the time of a massage, I've heard that massage therapy can be beneficial in other ways, such as improving overall health and even healing people emotionally speaking. Can you elaborate on that, or speak to any experience personally with that?
I think that people, because it's the whole healing touch that people really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some elderly people that come in that really just enjoy that contact. But in another sense, a lot of people hold a lot of stress and emotions in their muscles without realizing it. Sometimes during the treatment, it actually can do an emotional release with the muscle tissue. So you get some people that have emotional outbreaks or feel that they need to sometimes cry or, yeah.
And is that relatively common, or I guess it's not uncommon per se?
I wouldn't say it's too common.
It's, I guess in your experience, it's not something you've encountered too often. Have you ever had, again, obviously you don't want to, you know, breach any sort of confidentiality laws, but have you ever had somebody have, say, an emotional outpour that was really shocking, or, you know, you thought, geez, I must have done a really fantastic job, or either that or they had all kinds of stuff bottled up that they had, you know, no idea about?
I think, yeah, I've had one or two occasions like that where people don't realize how much they do have built up in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And are really appreciative of you being able to release that.
As well as, I guess, like I said, emotionally and physically feeling better. Now, you know, people I've spoken with over weeks, months, years, however long, sometimes express concerns or hesitancy in regard to having a stranger touch them or massage their body. It seems like this is especially so when they consider the prospect of removing articles of clothing. What can you tell those listeners that would set their mind at ease?
I think through personal experience, before I even became a massage therapist, I was really worried about getting treatments as well. You have to understand that people that are massage therapists are in the medical field, so it's mm-hmm. like going in to see your doctor, pretty mm-hmm. much. They are trained for to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
During the treatment, you will be underneath the sheets at all times.
Mm-hmm.
We do undrape the area that we work on, and we do it through your comfort. If you don't want to be undraped or taking the sheets off, we don't have to do that. Totally up to you of what you want to do.
So there's never any obligation to, you know, strip down to the buff, so to speak, and hop up on the table?
No, not at all.
Now, Jen, if you don't mind, I'm going to perform a bit of a service now for those listeners who may have had a massage in the past and, you know, had questions they may have been too bashful to ask. You know, these are just essentially matters of judgment where one might not be concerned with whether or not they could do the following, but more importantly, whether or not they should while visiting a registered massage therapist such as yourself. So if it's okay with you, I'm just going to fire away here.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Now, first one, should a client speak or not speak while you're performing a massage?
I go by the rule of I don't speak to the client unless they want to speak, because
okay.
I think they're there to relax as well. It helps calm the body down, because some people start up in a conversation, it gets pretty heated, and that actually tenses up their muscles as well. I do need to talk to the client through the treatment sometimes during the deep tissue to make sure that they're comfortable and not causing too much pain.
I guess that makes sense. Next one, being that you're involved with essentially a service industry, is it appropriate for a person to tip the massage therapist? And if so, what would be an appropriate guideline for that?
I've worked in a spa before, and I work in a clinic as well. For legal reasons, we are not entitled to receive tips.
Okay.
Some people have left them behind, and of course, there's nothing we can do about that.
True. So if somebody were to leave, you know, $10 or $20 or whatever, sort of on the sly, I guess, and then they take off, you're not going to necessarily chase them down the street to return it. But I guess what you're saying is that it's not appropriate necessarily for somebody to tip in that situation?
I've had different people think different things. You know, some people see it as a spa service
mm-hmm.
or as something that, you know, getting your nails done type of thing as a treat to yourself. So that's why I think they feel they need to tip. But mm-hmm. in a clinical perspective, you don't turn around and tip your doctor when you're finished with him.
This is true. And if you are, then I want to know more, and I need to get you on the show, because that makes for compelling radio. Now, we talked about the comfort level as far as nudity and being draped or undraped, covered with a blanket or towel or whatever it might be. You know, even though a client would normally be under the blanket or towel or drape, as you mentioned, while they're under this shroud, should they remove their boxers, gitch, knickers, panties, thong, and or underwear, in your experience?
I've treated people with either.
Mm.
So really, it depends on the situation, their comfort level. When people get certain body parts treated, then it is easier if they remove those clothing, but it is totally up to their comfort level.
So it's it would never necessarily be a hindrance for, you know, a gentleman to leave his boxer shorts on while you were, you know, massaging?
Not at all.
Gotcha. And I imagine there's all too many that are, you know, ready, willing, and able of shedding clothing.
Yes.
Is that something you experience very often?
No. It's pretty neutral either way.
Pretty fortunate that way. You haven't had any crazy nudists or exhibitionists of late?
Some people are just more open and don't mind if they just change in front of you and just jump on the table. They're pretty eager for the treatment, so
yeah.
You can't exactly stop them.
Well, there you go. Jeez. Next one, Jen, is it appropriate to give direction to the masseuse or massage therapist, such as, if I were receiving a massage, is it appropriate to direct you by saying, you know, massage harder or less pressure, please, or down lower, no lower, no lower. That's it.
It's appropriate to say the pressure, if it is too deep or too light.
Mm-hmm.
The direction, not so much.
So what you're saying is that as a recognized medical professional, again, registered, you know, with the province of Ontario, you don't offer the massage with a happy ending.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that concludes the interview. I've got nothing else to say, to be honest. Totally kidding. This is a family show. Well, no, it isn't, but it could be. It has that potential. Kids aren't in bed yet. Another one for you. How much personal grooming and or hygiene should one consider before visiting you or any other massage therapist for that matter? I.e. shaving, showering, removing any pliable scabs, popping zits on their back, also known as back knee.
Ew.
Yeah, you know, it's a little back knee between friends normally, but I mean, like you say, as a massage therapist, you see a bit of everything. So, in your experience, is hygiene appreciated?
Definitely, I think, but the washing part, to being cleanly, is important. I find it hilarious how women come in and they're always like, oh, I didn't shave my legs. And it's just, I don't really care. I have men that come in that forget to shave their legs.
Exactly. Or who don't ever shave their legs, for those of you who aren't catching on.
And it really doesn't bother me. I've seen everything you could ever think of, and it doesn't affect me. I'm doing the same treatment no matter what.
So you've like what? Sorry. This inquisitive mind of mine, it's like a sponge. It's like Maria Montessori, the absorbent mind. Here's another one for you. I appreciate you being a good sport about this, because I know I'm bombarding you with ridiculousness. Now, should a client request, or could a client request even? Now, let me rephrase that. Should a client request certain background music, and if so, would a selection such as, say, Megadeth or Iron Maiden perhaps throw you off your game, so to speak?
Well, I do kind of direct music towards certain people. If I have some elderly people come in, I'll have some nice Bach in the background.
Nice.
Some tropical rainforests or anything like that. I've also made a couple CDs with Travis and Coldplay and such for a younger generation. I have actually played the Beatles once and somebody didn't appreciate it, so I needed to change that.
They didn't appreciate the Beatles.
They did not. Not for a massage, they said.
Well, I was going to say, I guess maybe given the setting, but to not appreciate the Beatles, you know, that's a little off.
I would hurt.
Yeah, a lot of people would be hurt by that. Now, for those listeners who have seen a massage table, or been on one for that matter, or for those of you listening who can picture one, at the head of the table is a somewhat ring-shaped pillow, which allows you to lay perfectly flat, face down, by resting your head in the void at the center of the pillow. Now, Jen, I have to ask, although the said void in this donut-shaped pillow is intended for the head and or face, have you ever had clientele place other parts of their anatomy there?
I can't say that I have.
No. Nobody got on the table the wrong way, so to speak. Didn't get on the horse backwards, anything like that?
No, not at all.
That's good. Nobody put their junk in the
No junk in the hole.
No junk in the hole? Good. Okay, fair enough. Well, next question. Massage therapy is seen by many of its practitioners as somewhat of an art. That being said, do you have a signature move?
Ooh, a signature move, eh? I don't know. I since I do the deep tissue work, I use a lot of my elbows, which I think I have the boniest elbow in the world. So I have a few nicknames that
not a good selling point.
Clients have given me a nickname of the Bone Crusher. I've left gen spots on people.
Gen spots?
Yes.
Those aren't like love spots in the backseat of a car. Never. Jeez.
Negatory. Oh,
negative. What am I thinking? Wow. So needless to say, people have affectionately referred to your methods by names other than what they would be commonly referred to. One more question, and again, I said I appreciate you being a good sport about all these. If one is receiving a massage and should, say, break wind or flatulate accidentally, or intentionally for that matter, what is standard protocol at that point? Do you pretend that it never happened, or do you scold the client and correct them by hitting a pressure point in their neck?
Well, it happens to everybody, so there's nothing you really can do. You can't take it back.
This is true.
So, what happens, it happens.
Gotcha.
And sometimes people get a little embarrassed about it, but
yeah,
it happens.
I suppose, especially if you're massaging the abdomen or lower extremities.
Gluteal region?
Yeah, that would happen. Now, as we said before, Jen, you're based in Stratford, Ontario, which is roughly equidistant between Kitchener-Waterloo and London. How can people get a hold of you if they have further questions about massage therapy or if they simply want to book an appointment? Do you have like an email address or telephone or whatever?
Yes, they can reach me at my clinic, which is called the Naturopathic and Complementary Care Center.
Okay.
My phone number there is 519-271-2440. And you can also reach me if you want to shoot me an email. It's JennFetterRMT at Sympatico.ca.
So that's JennFetterRMT at Sympatico.ca.
You bet.
Well, Jen, it's definitely been fun. It's definitely been informative, and I greatly appreciate you making some time for the show. Thanks very much.
I had fun too. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, folks, I am all out of time once again, but make sure you join me in 2 weeks' time right here on CHRW 94.9 FM for another edition of Full Frontal. In the meantime, if you have any questions for myself or Barb or for the show or in general, if you want to pass on a thought, a comment, etc., you know how to get in touch. Email me at august@chrwradio.com or visit my official website at www.augustdonnelly.com. And remember, I'm August Donnelly, and you're not.